My name is Aram. My pronouns are he, him. I am the writer and producer of the actual play Dungeons & Dragons podcast, God's Fall.
And my name is Dylan. My pronouns are he, him. I'm a physicist from Canada.
Welcome
to Kill Every Monster.
This week on Kill Every Monster, we are featuring the werewolf.
The Monster Manual describes the werewolf as a savage predator. In its humanoid form, a werewolf has heightened senses, a fiery temper, and a tendency to eat rare meat. Its wolf form is a fearsome predator, but its hybrid form is more terrifying by far. A furred and well-muscled humanoid body topped by a ravening wolf's head. A werewolf can wield weapons in hybrid form, though it prefers to tear foes apart with its powerful claws and bite.
We are joined by writer and game master Diana. Diana, or Super Dylan, is a tabletop RPG creator and entertainer, author of Neverland the Impossible Island, a 5e setting guide, one half of the Femsplain podcast, and a big old queer dork. Welcome to the show, Diana.
Thanks. Thanks for that killer intro that you made up on the spot about me. Yeah. Thanks for saying all those really nice things that you made up.
It's just off the top of my head. And for some reason, every single person I know, I just got a paragraph waiting to go. I'm just like human LinkedIn.
Really appreciate that you threw in big old queer dork at the end, which really sets people apart from our standard oeuvre for guests.
So far, both hosts, every single guest queer. It wasn't on purpose. It's just like, that just happens to be all the people we like. Oh, except for Mel. Mel's straight. Well, we still love you, Mel.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for having me.
So, first of all, Diana, what is a werewolf to you?
Oh, a friend.
A furry friend.
Werewolves have been one of my favorite creatures for a long time. Predating, you know, my interest in RPGs and stuff like that. Werewolves are so interesting to me because there's so many werewolf stories, and there are werewolf stories that are real bad, real bad. And then there are ones that are really good. And I think that what sets the good ones apart is what is the werewolf's struggle in, say, Twilight or True Blood, there's always some sort of parallel drawn to like drug addiction or weird tribal stereotypes are always like thrown in there. A good werewolf story has a more inner conflict. It's the conflict between some parts of yourself that you don't like or maybe wish that you didn't have to deal with and the parts of you that are easier. I can accept two metaphors for the werewolf story, and that is the queer metaphor, and that is the chronic illness metaphor. Personally, I can't be asked to talk about werewolves without talking about the fact that I have lupus. It's not just like in the name, like lupus is wolf and all of that, but there are real parallels that maybe lend to the theory that people with lupus were where this like myth may have originated from, in that we get these like strange looking bite mark sized bruises all over our bodies when we get sick. This sort of like transformation process where they could be fine for months and then overnight become, you know, riddled with pain. We have a hypersensitivity to sunlight, which explains this.
At this point, Diana has gestured to her general paleness.
Yes.
It'll be a tough sell on the podcast, but yes, absolutely.
It's not a visual medium, but trust me, I am reflecting light. I think the best werewolf stories tell a story where the werewolf has to not beat that thing, but become harmonized with it and find a balance between those two sides of themselves and learn to be happy and cohesive with it.
Did that draw you to werewolf stories? Do you keep revisiting them as kind of a source of connection?
Always, all the time. It's just a struggle because like we mentioned, a lot of them are pretty bad. or a lot of them are coupled with vampires, and the vampires are for some reason...
The vampire's the core story. The werewolves are kind of like the
little side
group.
Some sort of weird subplot.
Yeah.
But you know what? I take my scraps.
What's your favorite werewolf movie or werewolf show?
I am so glad you asked. I am so annoying about this, and it is very specific. It is the U.S. or actually, I guess it's the Canada version of Being Human.
We're all hiding something, aren't we? From the moment we wake, look in that mirror, all we do is spin our little lies.
We make good TV. Something. Shut up.
No, legitimately, you do.
They make fantastic B-roll up there in Canada.
It's good. I just forget because it's...
It doesn't have an accent on it, so it must be...
Yeah.
No, I gotcha.
I mean, the UK version of the show is fine. It's fine. Whatever. But Josh from the US version or the Canada version of Being Human is... probably my favorite werewolf. He is a sweet Jewish boy who just does not want, he did not ask for this, but it ends with him accepting it and making it a full part of himself.
That right there, that's why I specifically bring up the way D&D tries to make it part of the alignment struggle is like you lose the control, and then they specifically have a line in there talking about how the way you deal with it, like if you come to control the beast, is like you accept the curse, is you just take on chaotic evil as an alignment. If you're going to have control over this, it's because you gave up on being a person and became a wolf, and now you're a monster. Which is just like, for something that is so clearly a metaphor for, you know, dealing with parts of yourself that you are not happy with.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to bottle up being queer. Oh, you became a queer now? You're an evil homo, you terrible monster. You know, you have a chronic illness and you've just accepted it and made it part of yourself.
And now you're a monster.
Do you think the werewolf is a monster?
I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense for a creature that, as far as most lore is concerned, is a full human for a vast majority of its existence and spends one day as a, you know, as this alternative form. Like, I think that the assumption that the entire person is corrupted and is monstrous because of that seems silly.
It ties back into something that I will essentially make a theme of this podcast, which is that like D&D should stop touching horror monsters.
They can have the mummy.
Yeah, you can have the mummy. That's fine.
I feel like it doesn't do sentient monsters well. If we're talking about like a full-on animalistic monster without human traits, great, go for it. But once they start trying to toy with something that they don't do nuance well, so I guess that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
A dragon turtle, lots of fun. Sits in a harbor, sinks your boat, wants you to drop some gold into the water. That's great. When they try and do something with like human needs, then sometimes it varies.
Yep.
The werewolf cannot be considered a just in the box monster. They are a person with motivations. Maybe that werewolf has good motivations. Maybe they have bad motivations. Maybe that makes them a monster. But just as a creature, to say they are a monster, especially when it is an affliction.
If you want a sympathetic monster, a sympathetic villain, or a villain that can be redeemed in your story, what better like opportunity there is than for someone who's this close?
I want to see the character that like has accepted their werewolf part and like can just be in their werewolf form and their friends are comfortable around that. I want to see like them like taking a short rest and like the mage curling up in the werewolf's fur on their belly. Like that's like you don't see like a caring, sweet, fuzzy.
You don't see that very much, but that's what I daydream about when I'm just, it's just is curling up with my werewolf friend by a fire. Yes.
It would be amazing. You'd feel so safe in their arms. Like
giving scritches to your best werewolf friend.
The back leg just goes.
Like dig a hole 3 feet deep.
But he's like embarrassed about it. He's like, stop, don't make my back leg kick.
You keep doing that, I'm going to turn back into a person. And then you're going to be scratching a person's belly and you're going to feel like a weirdo.
Yeah.
100% in support of all of this. A player character can be infected with lycanthropy. And if that, and then if they fail a saving a throw, they have a choice. They can either accept it and become basically just a non-playing character that has become fully bestial, or they can fight against it. And then like occasionally every month it'll crop up and be a problem, but they can also change at will into this other form. Right. And that form gives them damage immunity, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Because every werewolf story is regeneration. But this is damage immunity to piercing and blunt and slashing as long as it's not silver or magical. So it does incorporate like all the werewolf stuff, but it's different.
I mean, it's similar to how White Wolf does it, where you have three forms, not just like the two. You have like the human form and then the halfway between human and wolf form and then the full wolf form. No AC increase as the wolf, which that bothers me.
If you are strength 15 or higher, it's just like, that's it. You don't get a strength boost. You turn into a werewolf and you grow no stronger, which is weird and doesn't fit at all into the idea of a werewolf. You should always get strong. If you are a cloud giant and you become infected with lycanthropy and you turn into a werewolf cloud giant, you should be a slightly stronger cloud giant.
Yeah.
It feels like it's nerfed.
It does feel nerfed. Goodness knows why.
A lot of D&D writing, and we talked about this before, a lot of D&D's writing is defensive because they know who their audience is. And they know if they give this big, powerful buff, being turned into a werewolf, there should be consequences, and there should be role-playing stuff, right? But there's big, huge point bonuses, and there are a lot of players who will just be like, I'm going to abuse the hell out of the role-playing stuff and just take the point bonus. So they're writing defensively.
The paladin has gained lycanthropy, so his strength went up +4. Why would we not have the paladin just bite the fighter then?
Give it to
all
werewolves.
Give it to the party. It's fine.
Just bite everyone, right? I think there's two ways to fix this. I think you have to make the main werewolf a little stronger. There has to be an addition for like a +2 to everyone for strength. There has to be an AC bump. There has to be a speed bump. All those things have to happen. But I also think that to make it interesting, there should be a secondary werewolf form. This idea that you can just accept it and become bestial, and like that you have to assume these creatures exist. So if the werewolf is challenge 3, there should be a challenge 6, and that should be what this is. And then additionally, even if you fight against it and you retain this human hybrid, every 30 days, you should churn into the bigger creature and not have control, because that's a hell of a lot more for your friends and everyone to have to deal with and for you to have to plan for. And it really represents like something bigger and greater than what you're normally dealing with.
I do agree with the regeneration thing, but I would have it as, you know, you start to regenerate after you've shift out. So you're not regenerating in werewolf form. You regenerate after. But I would also give exhaustion after you shift out. And I would have your humanoid form be exhausted by just the fact that you went through that. Your body changed and exuded a whole bunch of energy that it doesn't normally have. And now you're also feeling the effects of being this like puny thing again, this weaker version of yourself.
I almost run in the opposite direction, where to me, one of the major things about a werewolf is that it is a shape changer. But there's next to no real benefit, generally speaking, like they're a monster and they're not supposed to be a PC except in those very select conditions. There's no reason for it to ever be a person when it's interacting with the party. There's no reason for it to ever be a wolf, almost full stop. So why is it a shape changer? Like, I know it's because werewolves in the mythology and everything, but like, I would almost want to encourage it to switch back and forth. Maybe you do give it immunity. We've had this argument around.
Yeah, multiple times.
Immunity is just fast enough regeneration. If it regenerates faster than 6 seconds, it's immune to damage, and it's just like, oh, the cut opened and it closed.
Also, they have a troll and they can't have it be the same monster.
Right.
It's frustrating that then you can't like hit a werewolf with a rolling rock, incapacitated for a couple rounds while you run away. In every werewolf movie, someone at some point always hits it with like a car, right? There's always that moment where they're almost going to die and then a car just boom, just takes the thing out and it buys you like 30 seconds. And that's, you know, as it's knitting itself back together.
But this is where we come back to D&D needs to stop doing horror monsters, because all of those scenes run on the basis of the person being attacked by the werewolf being weaker than the werewolf. Whereas D&D always comes from an angle of the party as a whole, you know, individuals obviously know, but the party as a whole is as strong, if not stronger, than the creature they're up against. So that moment where you really need to like buy yourself time by hitting them with a truck and then getting out of the truck and running, or like those desperation moves don't exist. I agree with you, like in a narrative sense, that's way more interesting. But also if you're playing Dungeons and Dragons, like
it's not built to tell a horror story.
It's built to trade punches.
Or to be balanced. So obsessed with balance.
I back it as a concept where it's like you want the DM to have a sense of scale. I want to be able to throw something that the party can't handle at them, but know that they can't handle it, so that we're in a situation where the fight is fair, in that I'm choreographing, this is too big, you should back down. Then it got perverted into always make sure that the fight is fair and balanced and everyone has an equal. No, it's just like, don't crush the party when you don't mean to.
Yes.
Don't throw a villain at the party that they eat immediately. But I think the strangest design choice in The Werewolf is the fact that it is a monster you inherently should be prepped for at a challenge level where the players don't necessarily have that option. So it creates that illusion where this should be a horror monster. This should be a conflict where you have to hit them with the truck, get out of there, figure out what you're dealing with, because no one has silver weapons.
Right, right.
At level 2 or 3, it's a miracle if anyone has a fucking +1 dagger. And yet somehow we're in a situation where this monster will not take damage unless you are appropriately prepared. And that's just an odd choice.
Yes, but also as the DM, that then gives you the opportunity to like drop the silver weapon like 10 games previously, knowing you're going to use it.
Yeah, but then if you've got it 10 sessions early, then the damage resistance doesn't matter because everyone knows exactly what they've walked into. They saw the werewolf and like, oh, we've got the silver weapon. Pull that out. Let's win this fight.
Yeah, but you got one. You got one. You like always be an odd weapon. Here's your silver hand axe, or here's your silver bolo, whatever the hell. Like, just give them something weird that they're never going to use unless they have to use it.
Or you could go the other route and have it be a slow burn mystery. Who's this guy they keep seeing all over, you know, like all over town? Like, where does he disappear to? And, you know, like, and like, you know, town rumors that they get to like seed over multiple sessions, and then they get to fight over what they think he really is. And then
werewolf is like on the board.
Yeah.
But it's only one of like 7 other options. It could be a werewolf, could be a vampire,
right.
Could be a changeling.
Shapeshifted silver dragon.
They're making like wooden weapons just in case. They're making some silver ones just in case.
Everyone's got something. One person's got holy water.
Yeah.
Party's got a running pool going of who's going to be useful in this next fight.
Is there anything else you want to add before we go on?
Just like, if anyone out there is secretly a werewolf, please tell me. Like, it's safe.
We'll leave Diana's Twitter in the show notes. Please contact them.
I'm safe. I'm a safe person to tell.
I can vouch. 100% safe. My name is Aram. My pronouns are he, him.
Isn't this the mid-roll?
Welcome to kill...
Aram.
Every...
Why are we...
Donation.
No.
Murder every dollar.
Why are we introducing ourselves? We're mid-episode.
Destroy all generosity.
That's the exact opposite of what we're trying to do here. Asking for support is weird, but we have some big ideas for where we want to go with Kill Every Monster, and we need your help to get them going.
For $5 a month, you'll get early access to ad-free episodes of Kill Every Monster and Dylan's handwritten DM's notes.
At $10 a month, we've got a character sheet for Zarday, my complete DM's notes, and a print-ready map of the general store, and a monster manual edition of Aram's ideas for the Alpha Werewolf.
At the $50 a month level, you will join us for a live monthly Monster Mash where creatures face off in an online arena of intrigue and death at the behest of a pair of mysterious wizards.
It's not a mystery, it's us. Still not convinced? Check out a free preview of our Lorekeeper notes for the Banshee encounter at patreon.com/killeverymonster.
And we'll see you next time.
Aram, don't do this.
For murder every benefactor!
So now that we've laid out how to run a game, how about we speedrun that entire adventure in about 30-ish minutes?
Fantastic. How is this working? Who am I?
So you are the werewolf.
Great!
Essentially, the benefit of being a guest, the trade-off for having to deal with us, is that you are now the monster, and we're going to throw Aram, who is going to, as is his tradition, play a bit of an asshole, and you get to murder him.
Oh, fantastic.
And I am here to be a referee.
Laika, we'll call her. She's just in the middle of this quiet, safe spot in the woods that she has carved out for herself. She knows that no human village, for sure, is in a 2-mile radius of this spot. She has searched so long for a spot that is that far away from any humans. And so she's sitting and she's sipping, more like smelling, a cup of herbal tea that is full of hot wolfsbane. And it just is, she's drinking it in through her nose and saying some calm affirmations about how it's going to be fine tonight. There are not going to be any humans here tonight. You are not going to kill anyone tonight. Breathe in the wolf's bane. But not going to kill any humans. This is going to be fine.
So tell me, Laika, how did she become a werewolf? Was this inheritance? Was there an incident?
There was an incident, but you know, water under the bridge. He didn't, you know, mean it. I didn't realize that at first, but you know, then I got to know him and then I changed and I realized that you can't always control what happens. So bygones, you know, and everything.
It's hard to point fingers with fingers in your mouth.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Not that she's ever done it. She hasn't done it, but like she came close a couple of times and it's pretty freaky, to say the least, because like, you know, I mean, that's easier than getting knocked up. Like it's, you know, like you could just all of a sudden be responsible for really throwing a whole wrench in this human's life. And it's not a fun responsibility to have. So no, she just finds quiet spaces near enough to a city where she can live a normal life for most of the month, and then goes out and has her, you know, there are like, she has like some like candle lanterns like hanging in the treetops a little bit. She's got incense burning.
Are we doing the inversion joke of like once a month? Like, no, I've got to go visit grandma.
Yeah.
I'm going to just wander off into the woods.
Yeah. And she's just got, I mean, like, I think she's got like talismans of relaxation from every religion, like just in case, whatever calming effect she can harness, she's got them all hanging around.
Yeah, my dad's an atheist, but he had me baptized, and I asked him later, like, why? And he's like, you know, insurance.
Yeah.
You can't be too careful.
That is fun and peaceful and likable and relaxing.
Like, she's happy to go into town. In fact, she, like, spends all her time there. It's just when it's, like, wolfy out,
right,
then she goes out into the woods. So, like, if it's, like, a normal day, again, you know, she packs up all her relaxation devices and kits, and she'll head back into the town, restock what she used.
been a busy month. You're getting down to the deadline. You have to do your prep work. So we see you in the general store buying, you know, the wolf's mane for your tea, a couple of relaxing candles. In the store, we've got the grandest of fantasy tropes, the man in the hood who's been kind of skulking around town. Aram, do you want to describe what we're working with here?
Yeah, so it's just the right black. There are people who wear black on black on black, and seldom is it done right. The black of the boots, the black of the cloak, even the extra threading. So there's like a matte black cloak, all deep, all perfect from tip to tails, the same black. But then there's deep black threading that has a gloss and sheen of all this intricate elven weave all the way down this cloak and all the way around the edge of the hood that's drawn deep and low. So it comes out about a full foot in front of his forehead so that the shadow never drops from his face. His arms are always held in and he always sits like his back against the wall, very, very quiet, polite, orders food, orders drinks, talks to people in a low, polite tone, always has a coin to share for information, but is otherwise completely disengaged with everyone around him.
You have this real talent where every time we do one of these, you utter the first line. I'm like, you piece of shit.
I know. I know. Thank you.
You've been in town for a couple of days and you've found like these little signs, little off inklings that have given you a hint that you're in the right place. And then when you go to the store, to the general store, and you find someone who's been collecting wolf's bane.
She's definitely wearing a red cloak with a hood.
100%.
And has a little wooden basket with like with all of her herbs sticking out. And she's like kind of leaned over the counter with like her foot like kind of kicking back and forth. And she's like, did you get any of that incense that I liked? The one with the lemongrass?
Okay, hold on. I put some of it aside because I knew you were going to come back in, but people have been asking. It's the good stuff. Like, I tried to make sure I didn't sell all of it. Let me just go into the back room. I will check. I will be right back for you.
Thank you.
Aram, you know
something is not right. I am going to use Primeval Awareness. As an action, I can expend one ranger spell slot to sense whether any aberrations, celestials, dragons, elementals, fey, fiends, or undead are present within 1 mile of you, or within 6 miles if it's my favorite terrain, which this is. This feature does not reveal the creature's location or number, just confirms that there is a creature within the area. So I would say that my character would step into the darkest shadow they can find nearby and look for a spider's web.
Do you want to explain why we're specifically going for the spider's web around?
As they would reach up, their hood would fall back a little bit from their head, and a clear elven ear, dark as midnight, can be seen tucked under their shock white hair, and they pull it back quickly. And there's little markings of spiders all sewn in, little insignias and clear prayers, not to Lotho, to Elistry. This is clearly a drow that spent a lot of time in Loth's council, understands the spiders and their ways, but worships another god now. And they're looking to the spiders now as one might read tea leaves. The drow's eyes flare with violet magic beneath his hood, and the world around him, at least from his perspective, grows dim. Silver moonlight illuminates a small area around him, dancing along the spider's dew-covered web. His name is Zade. He is a young drow who was taken in by priests of Elistry after fleeing the Underdark and became a fervent worshiper of the moon goddess. He has spent the last year training to hunt down all who would threaten the kindness and generosity of her faithful, all who would pervert the light of the moon, and set out on his great quest only a fortnight ago.
While he's reading the spiderweb And I'm like kind of waiting for my incense to come out from the back. Can I notice him or would I not?
I would like you to roll a perception at advantage.
Yeah. My guy is obvious.
That's going to be 15.
As you've got your shopkeeper in the back looking for this wolfsbane incense, there's a point where that little bit of wolf, the bleed through, those effects that like still last even when you're completely out of that space. You smell wolfsbane. He's found some flowers that give it like this really nice peppery undertone. There's all these comforting smells associated with it, but this is sharp. It's tangy, it's acrid, it's something acidic. There's someone here who has like a tincture of wolfsbane. It smells toxic.
I am curious about that. There are not a whole lot of reasons for the humans to use that. Like, I mean, some of them do, but not like a lot. So, I mean, it's possible this person is maybe wolfy like me or something and just deals with it differently. So I'm going to walk over there. I'm going to take a look at his whole aesthetic that's happening.
His goth Hot Topic aesthetic that's happening.
Also like too nice for like this little sort of middle of nowhere forest town.
No one has perfectly sewn black leather gloves in this town, etched with silver.
But she wouldn't really pick up on that, but she does notice the all black, the jet black aesthetic thing going on. Hold on. Just a second. I know, I can part with this. And she's gonna come up to you and she's gonna pull out like a really fluffy sprig of lavender that has all the flowers still on it. And she's just like, it's just, you'd be surprised. I like what you have going on. But a pop of color, like just a little pop. And you have, your ear is just perfect to hold it. Just, it would be nice. And you can have it.
Zare would look up. He would just gently pull back his cloak. And like just this, just brilliantly dark purple skin with this shock white hair. Eyes that are kind, but also dangerous. And all of his movements are very slow and purposeful. He gently takes it. There's just the slightest curl of a smile in his lips as he slides it in, and that bright lavender just hits perfectly against his skin.
I knew it!
He nods. A gift must always be returned.
Yeah. Did you have something in mind? Because, I mean, I'm free right now.
What is it that you wish of me?
Oh, you seem very interesting. And you seem, you know, I don't know, like we might have something in common. And I don't really have things in common with a lot of people here. So, I don't know. Maybe we could just talk.
He would turn to the spider web. And he'd look up at it. And this whole time, he's had like one gloved finger gently stroking one of the silky connector threads. Right? One of the main anchor
points. That's what they're called, yeah. Yeah, silky connector threads.
Yes. It's a technical term, Diana.
It's a thing. Listen, if you were a spider, you would know what the words were.
Yeah, okay? Exactly.
Their eyes followed the spider from this web, which had crawled out over your character and lowered them and just kind of lowered down on a single thread. And as you finished your sentence, just alighted on your shoulder. Your offer is kind, and I accept.
Laika, hey, I've just got a little bit, but I do have to close up soon. So do you want to wrap this up? I can get this all bagged up for you and we can get us out of here.
Of course. Thank you so much again for that. And like a couple extra coins for your trouble. Thank you so much. New friend, let's go.
Vizadi would just walk alongside you.
You see, like, just the faintest. Like, the sun's starting to go down, the torches in town have been lit, and you see the shimmer of just the strands, the spider web left on the back of the cloak. There aren't a lot of ideas a spider can convey. There are two that you get. Yes. Soon. You two spend a decent evening. Like, the sun was starting to get low. It was starting to get dark, but it hadn't set yet. And basically, up till near actual, like, sunset, just a nice, peaceful walk. A little conversation, talk about the drow homelands.
From the day my neck was strong enough to hold up my head, it was a constant fight to keep the two of them attached.
She's riveted. She's just like, oh my gosh. And how did you survive?
At 7 years old, I slayed my first cave monster.
Oh my gosh. So was there any, like, one thing that, like, really changed you? Like, you know, like one moment that totally changed the course of your life forever? Like a big thing that came out of nowhere?
As you would say that, like, it's been a relatively cloudy evening. And as we're walking along this path, we come to a clearing. And as we do, the clouds part in front of us. And the silvery orb of the moon slides out and just bathes us in this silvery light. And I would stop for a moment and I would look up and I would genuinely smile. And I would nod and just say yes. And keep walking.
That being said, you know what day it is, and you just saw how bright the moon is.
Okay.
You got a time limit.
Wow, this is so exciting. Okay, I have like a whole big thing that I have to do beforehand because otherwise it just is mess. Do you do something like that? Do you have like a ritual?
May I help you with your preparations?
Sure, yeah. Well, we go out just a little bit further. It's just, you know, it's away from everybody. And I don't accidentally make children, you know? So it's just pretty, you know, like at night things get wild. So it's just, we're going to just go away from everyone and I'll make some tea. It's very good. This blend right here. Oh my God. It really calms the nerves. And then it makes things a little bit easier, and smoother. And less chompy. It feels all like bone breaky and gross. But this helps to calm it down. So I think you'll like it if you've never tried this before.
Then we cut forward to where we came for our introduction. We cut forward to Laika kind of sitting in the clearing, doing a little sip, the sniff, just kind of luxuriating in that, like, steam. Really just kind of feeling it soak into your body. And we pan a little bit, just from in front to a little off to the side, where we can see directly behind you, leaning up against one of the trees in the clearing, Izadi, just
pinky up, sipping tea.
No luxuriating. It's almost like he's doing it for, like, the nutrients of it. This is a drink.
Sipping tea, but the eyes never leave her. Like, they're just focused straight forward the whole time while this waft of steam goes past them.
Like, what's it look when things start?
When things start, there is a, like, calm moment where she places her tea down and, like, just takes, like, the two trees nearby and, like, braces herself. And there's like an awkwardly long moment where nothing happens, but she is like just grimacing with like the wait for this moment.
It almost looks like she's trying to push these two trees down.
And she will look up at him and just say, "Sorry, I don't know if it's like this for everyone. I just don't love this part."
Just to be prepared, Slayer's Prey.
As a bonus action, you designate one creature you can see within 60 feet. And the first time each turn that you hit that target with a weapon attack, it takes an extra 1d6 damage. This benefit lasts until you finish a short or long rest, or if you designate a different creature.
And then the transformation starts. The T does its job. This process is not clean. It's not a wild shape. This isn't a transformation, it's a growth. As the bones extend, they crack when they need to move. The skin gets pulled too taut and then gets loose as it grows to fit the new form. Mostly, the only part of this that almost feels good is the muscles. When the muscle starts to come in and really fill out that almost like baggy flesh, that just outpouring of strength, that moment where the fingers clench into the trees and you just feel them bite through the bark. And suddenly you are just so much stronger.
Yeah.
It's the only part of this that really, like, it's that and the smells.
What I would like to happen is I would like to go full wolf, but I would like mid-transformation when I hit that hybrid point for that to be the moment that I see this, so that I can scream that he needs to run.
It's the tail end of that where, like, you've gripped in, you scream, like, you realize the mistake. This person is not transforming, that they are not one of yours. And then all of a sudden, after you've screamed and it starts to turn into that howl, everything snaps. It's the fastest part of the transformation. When you go full wolf and it goes from these huge lanky arms to just snapping in and then you fall to all fours. Zadi, you see in front of you a wolf bigger than any wolf should be.
He had hoped she wasn't what she was saying. He liked her. He really did, but his god wants her destroyed. Bonus action, Hunter's Mark pulls out the crossbow, throws the cloak aside, and we're just going to go. Attacking with my crossbow. I really, really like her too. That's going to be a 9 plus 8 is 17.
Yeah, that'll hit.
Because I have Hunter's Mark, because I focused my ranger abilities upon you, my first strike is 1d8 plus 4 plus 2d6.
Jesus.
With a silvered crossbow.
Okay.
2 plus 4 is 6, and then plus 2d6 more. A total of 14 points of damage.
That makes me feel terrible.
It's the absolute betrayal. Like, you had such a nice, such a nice evening. You thought, like, this was someone who, like, could relate to your struggle.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, there was no running. You saw him just not even brace. He took just a marksman stance.
As soon as that bolt strikes your shoulder and that yip comes out of you, you would hear a harsh series of words in drow. This kind of, like, warbled under voice. He seems to be shouting a command at someone.
You have the keen hearing and smell. Would you like to make a perception at advantage?
19 plus 4, so
you immediately hear just the lightest rustling. It's too big. It couldn't just be like rabbits. It's too high up. It couldn't be a bird because they tend to move like far more delicately. There are no huge birds of prey in this area, and he's not moving. It can't be him. And when you look out the corner of your eye, you see this shape. Too many legs, and there are too many eyes, and there are those mandibles out front as a tremendous spider starts bursting out of the canopy of the trees.
Well, I'm going full wolf brain. There is, like, in the very back of her head, that, like, little human voice that's, like, happy he's defending himself because she doesn't want to kill anybody, but she's not in charge right now. So Wolf is going to go and is going to charge and is going to leap, is going to bite him.
So you got your two attacks. You got the bite and the claws.
Apparently, claws is only hybrid form.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Try to pounce him and just tear into his throat. Ooh, okay. Okay, wait. Where's my attack? 19?
19's definitely going to hit me.
What was it? D8?
D8 plus 2.
Meh. That's going to be 4 damage. He's got to make a DC 12 constitution saving throw.
That's going to be a 15 total.
I want to see if I can knock him down with my, like, leap.
I'm absolutely on board for that. Let's do an opposed athletics there.
My athletics total is going to be 8 plus 4 is 12.
So that's going to be 13.
Oh, just got me.
Yeah, so you slam into him. You bite down. You can feel the pressure where you've, like, snapped through a bit of leather on his arm, but he's gotten you up. That being said, blocking threw him completely off balance, and you just topple over onto him. That confidence you saw, that stance he took, that is over. You've realized just now, Aram, that this is a bad idea.
There are no wrong ideas with God, Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
As the werewolf comes down on top of me and I go down on my back, I would say that the spider comes down on top of Luca's back and tries to bite them. Okay, that is going to be a 14 plus 5 is 19 to hit.
Absolutely hits.
Okay, so the bite itself doesn't do any damage to you because it is not magical. However, it has poison. So I need you to make a DC 11 constitution save.
Got it. 17.
Okay, yeah, you make it. So there's like a burning, right? But you're just too tough. The poison doesn't do anything to you.
Yeah.
So my bonus action then is going to be... I'm going to cast Ensnaring Strike.
The first shot, that crossbow bolt hurt Diana. But the moment that spider lands, there's the weight of it hitting you. But this is a little bit more familiar. You know, you've hunted in this form before. So you feel fangs hit your back and just try and nothing. You feel like the moment where it tries to like inject poison and it's just damp and it's irritating. It feels like a rash.
Given that I'm not telling the wolf not to attack something, I can divert the wolf and attack the spider instead. Snarl at him, but I want him to know that it's a snarl of disappointment. It's just like, and then she's gonna begrudgingly get off of him and to turn to bite the crap out of this spider. Hopefully. 18?
That hits, yep.
7 damage this time.
Oh yeah, that takes a big old chunk. So the spider has 16 hit points, so you like tear a leg off it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, so you're running the combat. Now I see how it is.
Sorry, Dylan. Please go ahead.
No, so the spider only has 16 hit points, so you take a big old chunk of it. You tear a leg off yourself.
Yeah.
Wow, Dylan, it's so evocative.
There's the bit where you're like getting off him. You're giving the opportunity. Just please, for the love of God, just get out.
Mm-hmm.
And you turn and you just grab at this thing. It's like rearing up again. You know the spider pose where it's going to bite. And you just grab like, say, the second row of legs and you just wrench. And you hear the same sound as like snapping a branch. So it just gives and like hangs there. There's just enough, if it's a giant spider, there's enough meat to like hold it on there. But the exoskeleton under your teeth has just shattered and it almost falls over to one side when it tries to land and take its own weight.
I'm going hybrid because I want to talk to this asshole.
It lands after you bite the leg. The spider kind of buckles and then it tries to make a second lunge. And while we kind of follow the spider with the camera and then it comes back, there's the point where just this huge, almost foot wide hand just palms its entire like thorax, that midsection, and just holds it back. as your shape, your face starts to kind of like snap and extend a little bit. The muzzle starts to kind of hybridize with a mouth, like a standard human mouth. Anything you want to say at this point?
God, you are very frustrating.
And Aram, it's your turn.
Now that you've gotten off him, he rolls forward in one clean motion. He's on his feet. He has a boot in his crossbow. He's pulled it back, cocked it back, reloaded and raised it while he's on his knee, right? Pointed at you. But he doesn't fire because he's out of actions, but he's listening. He's like, his eyes are so narrow. They're barely looking through a squint, but he holds and listens.
In this form, I have two attacks. So I'm going to claw the spider one more time across the spider face. That's going to be a 14.
Oh, that just misses.
I'm going to walk up to Mr. Crossbow with his big, tough crossbow.
Just picturing a werewolf like, Mr. Crossbow with your big, tough crossbow walking up to you.
I want to claw and hit his crossbow and knock it out of his hands if I can. So that's going to be a 16.
That hits my AC.
You transform, and there's the point where you basically, like, dig the claw in a little bit. You squeeze, trying to see, like, can I just, no, and push back. And when you come back, it's almost like that stomp of, like, Mr. Crossbow, this big crossbow. And the hand plants across, like, you get, like, the three fingers kind of along the shaft of the arrow. And then the thumb and the pinky, on either side of the front of that bow, and it just squeezes until it snaps.
It's like every superhero movie where they reach up and crush the gun, except it's a crossbow, exactly.
The only real failing to this is when you do that, you feel the tip of that bolt kind of flick up into your arm, and you feel that burn. You felt it before it's silver. Like, he came in here. This person was carrying Wolfsbane. He came in with silvered bolts. This man's trying to actively kill you.
With that realization, I take my other hand and I reach behind his ear and I take that lavender back and I smush it in my hands and I let it crumble to the ground.
You're not worthy of this lavender.
I liked you. I thought we were going to be friends.
You left him with like a trigger in his hand, right? Yeah. Which he instantly dropped, pulled out a non-silvered scimitar that's glistening with poison. His eyes are, again, narrow and focused and filled with a drive that doesn't make any sense to you whatsoever. But then he just and he softens and he lowers his sword and he grits his teeth. That odd. Many of your kind. I can save you for last. And he puts the sword away and he goes, and the spider runs back into the forest.
You can hear the skittering. It's like you heard it the first time, just like perfectly, just it's arrhythmic now.
Yeah.
It's 7/8. It's just not quite right as it kind of like goes up a tree and into the darkness.
How about we find them together and then we don't kill them? I can't find them on my own.
He'd pause because a werewolf ally in hunting other werewolves would be valuable. He fully expected just to darkness drow out, right? To cast darkness and drow out, right? But this is an enticing offer. And I think, as the camera closes on us, he would stop and turn, and there'd be that shot of us about 20 feet apart as the moonlight shines down in this clearing, and you would just see him take one step forward and then the camera cuts to black. Thank you for joining Kill Every Monster and our good friend Diana, aka Super Dylan, as we learned more about our furry friend, the werewolf.
Want to see our lore keeper notes? Check out all of our subscriber rewards at patreon.com/killeverymonster.
If you want to suggest creatures for future episodes or talk about the monsters we've discussed on the show, head on over to our Discord. You can find links on killeverymonster.com.
And we'll see you next time
for Kill Every Monster.